Bible, friends, is maybe a book you're not acquainted with. Never taken the opportunity to become so, or had the opportunity maybe, brought up in godlessness and atheism, as they call it, so-called. A lot of people, of course, that come into that category in our country today, utterly and absolutely godless. And of course, no better for it. Someone put it to me not too long ago, said it seemed to him that the world was going to hell in a handbasket. Couldn't put it better myself. But maybe that's your background, godless, atheistic, evolutionary nonsense. And of course, you accept all that. You're taught it by your parents, taught it by school teachers, you get it through the media, indoctrinated with it from the cradle to the grave, most of you. You believe in evolution? You ever read one single book in opposition to it? You ever read one single pamphlet in opposition to it? You ever read one paragraph in opposition to it? Probably not. And so you just accept it blindly as being the truth, as being scientific. And of course it's not. Nothing could be further from the truth. But of course the Word of God is the truth. And outside of the Bible, there is no truth. Man can have no knowledge without the revelation of God. Can't do science, can't do philosophy, can't do logic, can't do anything. You can't even have law and order without the Bible, without God's revelation. But if God is going to judge you and me, and He is, on the basis of what He has revealed in the Bible, don't you think you ought to at least have some first-hand information? At least read something and see what He has to say about you, what it is that He requires of you, and of course what the end of you will be if you do not submit yourself, surrender to the Almighty through His Son Jesus Christ. So to that end, I offer you a copy of an extract from the Bible, God's Word, yours to do with as you will, as you please. There is no cost or obligation to you whatsoever. It is the Word of God, and it has the ability to make you wise for salvation, redemption. That's what the Bible is about from beginning to end. The theme that runs all the way through its pages. The salvation that God has provided for men and women such as yourselves. That should you believe on His Son Jesus Christ, you should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible, we are told that, believers, not unbelievers, not the godless, but believers are told, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, of course, who brings peace to men and women. He's the one who has made peace by the blood of his cross. But of course that peace has to be received willingly, deliberately, consciously, by faith. And of course when the Bible speaks about faith, it's not just faith in what you happen to believe or think is suitable to believe. Faith not in Darwin or Dawkins. Not faith in such myths as these men, fables as these men have placed before you. It's not faith in it's not faith in scientism. It's not faith, of course, in Islam. It's not faith in Buddha or Confucius. It's not faith in false religion. It's faith in the truth. The truth, says Jesus, will make you free. And faith, of course, it is, the Bible says, that brings many, many benefits and privileges to a man or woman. Many of you, doubtless, you live very well off the benefits of your socialist state. Of course, for some of you, well, that would be a hindrance to your coming to and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. They tell me some people, if they learn to work the system, they can get benefits galore from the socialist state. They can get holidays and cars. And the more swarm of kids you've got, doesn't matter if they're legitimate or illegitimate. Oh, you can fill your coffers aplenty. You can live high in the hog off the socialist state if you learn to work the benefit system. There's lots of benefits that come to a man, privileges that come to a man or woman from the socialist state. But of course, if you come to Jesus Christ, you might find that you have to work for your money. You might find that you have to work for your living instead of living freely off the state. But these benefits, of course, that you get from the state, we're talking about a whole different thing when we talk about the benefits that come to a man or woman through faith in Jesus Christ. Benefits and privileges, of course, that are alone to faith and to faith in Jesus Christ. For he alone is the one who purchased those benefits. Peace with God, access to God, right relationship with God. They flow, you see, out of a right relationship with God. Justify something or someone is to make it right. And of course, to justify a body before God is to make them right before God. Now, Jesus Christ, by his shed blood alone, can do that. Faith in the Son of God, you see, that brings that right relationship. And these benefits, these privileges of which I speak this afternoon, they flow out of that right relationship. But you don't get them, you can't have them in godlessness. You can't have them in unbelief. You can't have them without faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Or at least to cause you some serious thought. Not an awful lot of that in your society today. Bunch of numbskulls that we're raising up. What was it the Japanese teacher said the other day? Been working in schools in your country for the last year, I think it was. How did they find your children? Rude, arrogant, and bone idle. Yeah, I tell you, a nation heading for utter lawlessness in a generation to come. Bunch of numbskulls, ask you to give serious thought to these things. Ask you to give serious thought to anything. That's a big ask, isn't it, for this generation of wicked sinners. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, says God. But these benefits, privileges of which I speak to you this afternoon, they come from the fruit tree of the gospel. They're very precious. All the money in the world, all the celebrity status in the world, all the world's power can't produce them for you. You can only get them through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, and by faith alone. Bible says that the gospel comes to men and women by the grace of God alone. He gives it, you see, it's a grace gift. He gives it to whoever He pleases to. Not down to you, it's down to Him as to whether you'll be saved or not. You might sit there and think this afternoon, I'll never be a Christian, I'll never believe in God. Well, you can't not never say never with God, because you see, it's not down to you, it's down to His sovereign will. It's not of Him that wills, it's not of Him that runs, it's of God who sovereignly decides to show mercy. If He doesn't, well, you'll die, you'll go to hell in the same way that you were born and lived in your sin. But by faith, you see, by grace, the gift of God alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, not by works, not by anything you do, religious or otherwise. Your righteousness is your good deeds, God says, are like a filthy garment in His sight. He won't even pick it up, He won't even look at it. Your good deeds, that is. So where does that put your bad ones? So you see, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Grace alone, faith alone, believing alone, not the works of your hands, by the works of the flesh shall no man be justified, God says, only by faith, only by believing. And believing in Christ and Christ alone, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one gets right with God but by me, says Jesus. No other name under heaven, the Bible says, by which a person, a man, woman, can be saved, only through the name of Jesus, whom I declare to you this afternoon. Through faith in His name alone can you be justified, made right with God. So the fruit I want to speak to you about this afternoon, the privilege, the fruit that comes from the gospel tree, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is peace with God. And of course, there's a lot of people, I dare say, this afternoon would like a measure of peace. You know, some people, they got what they call neighbors from hell. Once encountered that myself, it was a torment, night and day, until these hooligans, until these thugs were evicted, you know, eventually by the social services. Neighbors from hell, you get no peace with them. Now there's some people, I guess, maybe, you know, they live in war-torn countries, and they don't know from one end of their life to the other. They don't know what peace is. Countries that are war continually, never known what peace is for generations. And I guess maybe they'd like some peace, a measure of peace. And some people, you know, they through sickness and pain, they're tormented day and night, you know, and no hope perhaps of a medical cure, and some affliction, not necessarily any particular fault of their own, but you know how they would love to have some peace. Some freedom from this affliction, the pain, and the torment that it causes them. Some people would like peace of mind because they're mentally disturbed. You know, they've got mind trouble. And I do declare, I have no idea, no experience of what that must be like, but it must be a terrible, terrible affliction to have torment of mind, no mental strength, you know, weak and feeble. But that's not the peace of course that we're talking about here. We're talking about peace with God. Peace with God that comes through the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Peace that comes to a man or woman by putting their faith, their trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only road, of course, that peace with God can be gotten is through faith in Jesus Christ. But of course, the condition of man reveals the need of this to you. You know, some people ask me the question now and again, whether they're serious or not, I don't know. But they ask, you know, where's all this going to end, you know? The mess that the world's in, the turmoil, the violence, the killing, you know, just goes on. And when will it come to an end? Well, the short answer to that question is when Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness and to send his enemies, the godless, the unbelieving, to send them to hell. And then, of course, will come the new heaven and the new earth in which will only dwell righteousness. And those who are righteous, those who have obeyed the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But of course, the reason why your world's in turmoil, why there's starvation, why there's disease, why there's war and killing, because of the wickedness of man. Comes out of the man's heart. Out of the heart of man, Jesus says, comes evil thoughts. Evil thoughts that turn into evil actions. Murder, blasphemy, immorality, theft. And so the list goes on. All of that poison, all of that vomit comes spewing out of your heart and mine. Every person's heart in this world, it comes spewing out. That's why your world's in such an atrocious mess. Not that God made it. Not that God's the author of evil. No, man is. Man's disobedience to God. And refusal, of course, to surrender and submit himself to God. But you change the heart, you change the mind. You cleanse the heart, cleanse the mind, and of course, well, good thoughts turning into good actions are the result. But of course, that takes a change of mind, a change of heart, what the Bible calls repentance. That's the call of the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. You want a better world? You want a good world to live in? Well, it begins with you. Begins with you because you've contributed, just as we all have, contributed to the mess the world's in. Every time you point the finger at somebody else, you got 10 fingers pointing back at you, blaming you. Because you've all broken every one of those 10 commandments of God. And that's why the world's in the hellish mess that it's in today. But of course, you know, peace with God, that's a very, very rare commodity in this generation, in your land. But peace with God's gotten, it's obtained through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's where it begins, peace with God. You know, when you surrender to the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But people, there will never be peace in the world. There'll never be peace in your society. There never will be peace in your homes. There never will be peace in your hearts as long as you're at war with God. Man's at enmity against God, the Bible says, hostile to God. And as long as you continue with these hostilities, there never will be peace with God, nor will you know the peace of God. Sin breeds quarrels between men and men. You fall out with one another. Some of you get into fights with your neighbors. Why? Sin breeds it. That's why. That's why there's trouble. That's why there's fights on your streets. That's why there's fights in your town centres of a night. They get drunk out of their minds and they start fighting with one another. That's why nations fight with one another. That's why there's wars. Because sin breeds it. Sin breeds war. Sin breeds selfishness. Sin breeds the lust, you know, for power over other human beings. Sin, you see, breeds the quarrels between man and his fellow man. Shabbat, God's law, Jesus says, is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. But as long as you're hostile to God, you'll be hostile to your neighbor as well. One follows the other as night follows day. Hostility to God, hostility to your fellow man. You're born a hater of God. You're born a hater of your fellow man. You despise one another, contrary to God's law. And it's for this the wrath of God hangs over you and upon you. And one day, believe me, will fall upon you in all its fullness and finality if you don't repent and believe the gospel. But sin breeds quarrels, you see, between God and yourself. Enmity against God, hostility. Guilty sinner and a holy God just don't mix, you know. The two just are not compatible. Were God to take you to heaven in your present state and condition, you wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't be comfortable there because you hate God, because you hate holiness, you hate His character, you hate everything He stands for. That's why you don't submit to Him. It's not that you don't know that God exists. Oh, you know He exists. You know that God is just as much as I do. Because He's made it plain to you, He says, and I'll take His word over yours any day of the week. He has made it plain to you, He has shown it to you, He says you even understand it, that God exists. So what do? Well, you know that God's angry with you. You know that God's displeased with you. And so what do? You go into hiding. You go into self-deception. You suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You say, no, God doesn't exist. I mean, how dumb, how foolish is that? You know, it's like the old man, he takes the kids to the beach, huh? And out comes the beach ball. And the father, he takes the beach ball, he puts it underneath himself, and he pushes it down in the water. And he shouts to the kids, where's the ball? Where's the ball? He knows where the ball is. But he's struggling to hold it down, to suppress it, so that they can't see it. In the same fashion, says God, you suppress the truth about Himself. You live off the back of His revelation. You do science and philosophy. You do law and order. You do all these kind of things off the back of God's revelation. And then on the other hand, you deny that He exists. How can you have law and order? How can you have a sense of decency if you don't use God's book for that? A German philosopher 100 years ago berated the English atheists. He says, you're clinging to your morality. You're clinging to your morality. That's Christian, he said. Get rid of it. You can't be an atheist and be a moral person. At least he was consistent. That's more than you are. You expect law and order? You expect a code of decency? What right do you have to? What right do you have to do that? Huh? What right do you have to say it's wrong for a man to rape a woman? What right do you have in your godless atheism? What right do you have to say it's wrong for one man to murder another? You have no right at all. You have no right to any morality. You have no right to do any science. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Man can't know nothing without God and without what God has revealed. You do your science, you do your law and order, you do your philosophy, you do all that stuff off the back of what God has revealed, and then you turn your back on Him, you say, no, He doesn't exist. You suppress the truth in unrighteousness, but you know that God is. And you can't escape it from the moment you're born. Before you learn anything else, you know that God is. Even before you learn to speak your first word, you know that God is. And so, people, you don't need evidence for that. And I'm not going to give you any evidence for it. You don't need proof. You don't need evidence that God created the world in 6 days. You don't need evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead after the third day. You don't need proof. You don't need more information. You need to surrender. You need to submit to Almighty God. And believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, in order to get this peace, this privilege, this benefit that God affords to all who submit to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But as long as you remain in your hostility against God and war with God, a guilty sinner and a holy God just do not mix. The two will never come together. Your iniquities, your lawlessness, as God has separated, put a breach between you and God. And you can't heal that breach. You can't mend it. You can't make reconciliation. You can be as religious as you like. Muslim, Buddhist, Confucius, JW, any cult you care to name. Pay lip service to your Anglican church if it's fit to be called that anymore. Your Romanism, your popery, Not by the works of your hands shall you ever be reconciled to God. Nothing you can do. A guilty, lost sinner under the condemnation of God and His wrath. And only one person who can change that state and condition that you are in, that you are born in, and that you live in, and that you will die in. Unless God changes your heart, unless you're born again, unless you're made a new creature in Jesus Christ, made all over again, recreated, made a new person altogether from the inside out. Religion will change you on the outside, but it won't change you on the inside. Gospel's about a person. Christ died for the ungodly. A person, not a religion. Not an instituted religion, not a pope or a priest, not a guru. A person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to save sinners. Through Him and through Him alone can you have peace with God. Man's greatest need in any day and generation, whatever needs you have this afternoon, however great they might be in your mind, the greatest need you have, I tell you, any man or woman has, is to be reconciled to God, because you're alienated from Him, and only Jesus Christ, God's Son, can heal that alienation and reconcile you to God. It's faith in Jesus Christ, you see, that does the business. Believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that makes a person right, justifies them before Almighty God, removes the guilt because the guilt's placed upon Jesus. It's what He was doing, dying on the cross. Not because He had done wrong, not because He had offended anyone. He only ever went about doing good. Even the Roman governor who had Him crucified had to acknowledge, I find no fault in this man. He washed his hands in public of the whole affair. I find no fault in him, he said. Because there was no fault in him, no blame at all. He was dying for others. He was dying for the sins of the world. He was dying for those who would believe on His name and have peace with God. When Jesus died, the guilt of all his people, whoever did and whoever will believe on his name, would be placed upon him. He took their guilt, he took their punishment to set them free for time and for eternity. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God and Jesus Christ alone, you see, can do that, make way for peace with God. Turns the attitude of God around, you see. Wrath of God is being revealed against your ungodliness and unrighteousness, God says. His attitude is one of constant holy displeasure, of wrath towards you because of your sinful state and condition, because of your rebellion, because of your lawlessness. The attitude of God is one of constant wrath towards you. But Jesus, by his death on the cross, made peace so that those who believe, those who receive him, receive the peace of God. And the attitude of God is immediately changed, altered. We don't do selfies here, sir. So you see, people, the Son of God, he alone can turn around that attitude of God and bring you peace with God, bring his smile upon you, take pleasure and to take delight in you, a favorable disposition, the goodwill of God, the benefits, you know, of the gospel. And of course, all the privileges that go with it. Peace with God, you see. Justified, made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you see, the character of this peace, you see, it's an end of the hostility in your heart and mind against God, you see. The very thing for which you were made, you see, created, friendship with God. But the Bible says you're an enemy of God without Christ. You're cut off from God, alienated from God, an enemy of God. But the Bible says, and wonderfully well, that Christ died for his people while they were enemies. You see, Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come for the goody-goodies. I didn't come for the self-righteous. I didn't come for men that think, I'm okay. Nothing wrong with me. What can God possibly have against me? I haven't sinned. I didn't come for them, Jesus says. I ain't got nothing to say to them. I ain't got nothing for the self-righteous. Carry on if that's you. I came to call sinners to repentance, he says, that they might know the favorable disposition and the goodwill of God. It's an end of hostility, you see, and brought into friendship with God. Instead of being an enemy of God, you find yourself a friend of God. And of course, if you're a friend of God, the Bible says, well, who can be against you? God's for you. It doesn't matter who's against you. The state, the United Nations, United States of Europe, the whole world can be against you. Don't matter a whit, they can't touch you. They can't lay one little finger on you. If God's for you, but if God's against you, I tell you, you ain't got nothing going for you. And the state might agree with you. Education system might agree with you. Dawkins might agree with you. Darwin might agree with you. The whole world might agree with you. But if God's against you, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing, and you ain't got a leg to stand on. You think when that day comes and you stand before Almighty God, you think you'll raise the arguments that you raise today against what I'm saying here? You think you'll mock and you'll sneer? I tell you, people, you will not even open your mouth. You will be so utterly and absolutely terrified. Now, people, better to bow the knee, better to submit and to surrender to Him as your Savior God rather than as your judge. But one single channel through which this peace comes, faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. No other way. He's God's peacemaker, mediator. There is no other. One mediator between God and man, the Bible says, the man Christ Jesus. No good going to the Pope. What can he do for you? He's just a sinful, wicked man, the same as yourself. What good is it going to a priest and pouring out your sins to him? Huh? What can he do for you? Bible, Jesus says, I, the Son of Man, alone have the authority to say to anyone, your sins are forgiven. You cannot get absolution before God by a priest or by a pope or by any other religious person. Only through Jesus Christ, God's Son. He alone has the authority to forgive your sins, to make peace with God in order that you might know and enjoy the peace of God, the tranquility of heart and mind that comes through a right relationship with the true and living God. Jesus Christ is our peace. Justified, the Bible says, for the believer. Justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, since we have been justified by faith. So that's the call. That's the means, that's the channel by which a person, a man or woman, can enter into peace with God, receive these privileges, this benefit, the wonderful peace that God has provided for those who will repent and believe the gospel. What repentance means, a change of mind. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsaking your thoughts, you see, it's them that get you into trouble. That's where all the trouble comes from, the heart of man. Out of your heart, out of your mind, come your evil thoughts that you turn into evil actions, and it gets you into the wrong. It gets you on the wrong side of the state. It gets you on the wrong side of the police. It gets you on the wrong side of the courts. It gets you on the wrong side of your parents. It gets you on the wrong side of your fellow man. But it gets you on the wrong side of God. Your wrong thoughts, your evil thoughts. Forsake your thinking, says God. And align your thoughts with God. Think His thoughts after Him. That's repentance. Bring your fallen reasoning, your fallen thinking. Bring it to the touchstone of God's Word. Because His thoughts are higher than yours. His ways are higher than yours. Much, much higher. An infinite distance. Eternity of a distance between you and God's thoughts and ways. So repentance is what's required of you. But of course you can't repent of yourself. That's the gift that comes from God. You can't believe of yourself. That's the gift that comes from God. You must be born again, says Jesus. You can't be reborn of yourself any more than you could be born naturally the first time. It's impossible with you. Nothing's impossible with God, of course. One who created the universe in 6 days, and the one who will remake the world in one day. New heaven and new earth will be produced supernaturally in one day. The God who raises the dead, Gives eyesight to the blind. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But with you, these things, the new birth, repentance, faith towards Jesus Christ, impossible with you. Might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces. Try to do them things. Can't people. So you see, people, it's down to God, not down to you. It's not down to you as to whether you'll get right with God. It's not down to you as to whether you'll be reborn, be given a new nature. It's not down to you that you'll repent. It's not down to you. Some of you might think, well, you know, at the end of my life, on my deathbed, I'll repent then, will you? Will God give you repentance then?
No.
He might, but He might not. See, people, it's not down to you, it's down to God. He's the sovereign disposer of the gospel. He provided the gospel, and He's the disposer of it. Down to Him. Of course, you could cry out to Him. You could seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He's a rewarder, the Bible says, of those who diligently seek after Him. You could ask. Jesus says, if you do, you shall receive. You could seek, you will find, says Jesus. You could knock, the door will be opened up to you if you do. Could cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Cry out to Him as one man in the Bible does. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Might do. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe the Lord will turn and smile upon you. And again, maybe He won't. There are no guarantees. Not from me, at least, anyway. But you could look into, you could examine. You could give these things some serious thought, just for once, you know, maybe one day in your life. Mark's gospel take you, what, 15 minutes to an hour to read? Won't take you long. Won't be long. Just give me a second to finish, yeah? Won't take you long, people. An hour at the most to read Mark's gospel. See that these things are so. Read for yourself. It's offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you whatsoever. Take it on with you, read, come to your own conclusions. But maybe as you read God's word, maybe as I pray for you, as I often do, and maybe God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ that God can be known. This is eternal life, says Jesus, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Can't know God.